Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, Israel has warned it will continue to restrict aid into Gaza and delay the reopening of the Rafah crossing until Hamas returns the bodies of all 28 deceased hostages. Now, the slow return of the remains of those hostages has provoked anger in Israel, raising fears that it could derail the ceasefire deal. 20 bodies remain in Gaza. Now, just before I came on air, I spoke to Adam Parsons, who's Middle East correspondent with Sky News, and I began by asking Adam about the situation with the Rafah crossing.
It's been a complicated story. Is that initially Israel said it was not going to open the Rafah crossing, that it was going to restrict the number of aid lorries and particularly things like cooking fuel. And this was a response to what they said was Hamas breaching the agreement by not returning the dead hostages. Hamas yesterday, not long after Israel said that, said it would do, and it sent four coffins back, which we now actually believe only contained three of the deceased hostages. Then there was a suggestion that Israel would be opening the Rafah crossing, that it had responded to that move by Hamas. Now it would appear that Israel is not opening the Rafah crossing, that it's clarified that it's going to remain closed. Now, what we don't know, to be honest, is how long that is going to be the case for, how much of this is a gesture, and how much of this is a long-term intention to keep that crossing closed. Because if it is closed, if aid is restricted, that is going to have a material impact on any efforts to resuscitate society in Gaza.
And are there any other routes for the aid to get into Gaza, or is that it?
No, there are other ways, but they're not down there. You know, Rafah is the one down near Egypt, so it's strategically important. There are other ones, one called Kerem Shalom, but obviously the crossings are limited. You know, the checks are done on all the goods as they're going through, so it's not really logistically feasible to have just one crossing dealing with everything. You need multiple, and Rafah is a very big, very busy crossing, and there's a huge amount of aid that is basically piled up there waiting to go in.
Okay, and the complication around this increased when, and we heard this from the Israeli broadcaster Channel 12, there was a question mark around the identity of one of the hostage remains which were sent back to Israel last night. This was in the latest four. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so it's understood at the time I'm talking to you, Claire, that fourth person is not a hostage. So the process was that these coffins were handed over by Hamas to the Red Cross. Red Cross then handed them over to the Israeli military, who brought them into Israel. There was a short service with a rabbi. They were then taken to a forensic institute in Tel Aviv to be checked, effectively to I assume, do DNA checks and to see whose remains are these. And it now appears that the IDF, the Israeli military, have released the names of three people and say that these are the people whose remains have been recovered. As for the fourth person, at the moment, they haven't put out a name, and what we're being told through unofficial sources is that this fourth body is not that of a hostage. It would not be the first time this has happened. On a previous occasion, Hamas did release a body saying it was that of a named hostage, and it turned out to be no such person.
And Adam, has Hamas been saying anything about this? Because we had heard previously that it was very difficult to find the remains of these hostages who are still in Gaza. Do you have any indication from Hamas as to what might happen next?
So Hamas and Israel have both gone to a tit-for-tat process, saying the other side is breaching the agreement. Hamas's focus has been on saying that Israel is breaching this agreement by effectively killing civilians, by not observing a ceasefire, by shooting people, and by doing that in more than one area. The Israelis, of course, say these are still military zones, there are forbidden areas, and that people who go into those risk being shot. Hamas says that, so that is a breach. The Israelis are saying that, Hamas returning, not returning all of their hostages, and certainly they will say returning this a different person is also a breach. But I think Hamas has, up to this point, has been at pains to try to change its posture, to try to be to show some form of goodwill in these negotiations. I think it was notable that Donald Trump at one point just simply stopped referring to them, as he had done, as the terrorist organization, simply called them Hamas, has actually, in a rather understated way, been quite complimentary about them. And I think overhanging all of this is the knowledge that Donald Trump is by far the most popular politician in Israel, wants this ceasefire to work. And Benjamin Netanyahu, having been so incredibly laudatory in his comments about Trump, will not want to do anything to bring down this ceasefire. Mm-hmm. So he's provoking and he's closing the crossing. He's showing that he can. But I think, would he actually do anything to end this ceasefire as it stands? I don't think he would.
Well, you would wonder what Donald Trump's reaction will be to the decision not to open that crossing. I suppose that remains to be seen in the coming hours. But both Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu are putting huge pressure now on Hamas to disarm. And that is the next phase in the Gaza peace plan, isn't it?
It is. I mean, look, there's many that are yet to come. And I think Hamas would say that is part of the negotiation. But, you know, the devil will be in the details here. The initial ceasefire agreement is so vague about these things. So if I, you know, was to say to you, you have to disarm, and you were Hamas, your first question would be, which armaments? Are you saying offensive arms? Are you saying defensive armaments? Are you saying permanently? What is the process? None of that has been agreed. So the question of what is disarmament, To the layperson, seem pretty obvious, but within this context, it will be anything but. So when Donald Trump said yesterday, yeah, but either they disarm or we make them, I think A, Hamas will say that is rhetoric. B, they'll say we're open to this discussion. Three, they would say, well, how exactly are you going to make us disarm? That sounds a lot like a threat for American military activity, which is at the moment off the table. And fourth, it would come back to that question. What is disarmament? Define disarmament, and then we can go forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that they will view the Benjamin Netanyahu statements in the same vein when he's saying all hell will break loose if Hamas doesn't agree to disarm?
I think that the Palestinians right now think that Donald Trump is making the decisions. So, and I think that goes across the piece, whether you're in Gaza or the West Bank, they think that Benjamin Netanyahu won't do anything without the approval of Donald Trump. And they've heard so many times, you know, all hell will break loose, or we will wipe these people off the earth, or whatever rhetoric has come. I don't think that is going to intimidate them. And also, if you look at Gaza, you look at the devastation there, to say to somebody who is in Gaza, all hell is going to break loose if you don't do X, Y, and Z, that person may roll around and say, well, all hell has long since broken loose. So it's hard to intimidate people in Gaza, I think, with threat of devastation.
When they've been through so much. And what are you hearing about what is happening in Gaza now? Because there are reports coming through of Hamas fighting rival gangs in Gaza, reports of shootings and executions. So restoring law and order and stability is going to be very difficult if that is what is going on.
Yeah, and I think I think it's clear that these things are happening. There are rival groups who will be, you know, Hamas is not the only game in town. There are either militias, or there are what are called loosely called clans, who are groups based on family loyalty, and some of these people have thousands of people who are following them. So there will be clashes, and you know, nature abhors a vacuum. And right now, if the bombing stops, if the shelling stops, then you are without doubt allowing society to sort of reform and regroup. That will mean that Hamas, as it is at the moment, will want to take reprisals against people that it thinks has acted against it. Other groups will be trying to muscle them out. And at the moment, there is no There's no law enforcement. There's no structure to society. So the people who have guns, and there are a lot of weapons in Gaza, have an awful lot of power. So I think until we're in a dangerous interim period at the moment, where there really is no structure to society, this is a form of anarchy. Mm. Now, most of the Gazans just want to get on and try to get a shred of more life back, but are also those who are seeking power, seeking control, will always happen.
Adam, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Adam Parsons there, who's Middle East correspondent with Sky News.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.